Open your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. This morning we'll consider our Lord's word to us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, to the end of the chapter in verse 34. Read with me the word of the Lord. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have just read the words of our Lord Jesus, we cannot help but realize that those words were spoken to us and addressed to us. Father, you warn us in your word that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And Father, it is a root so deep that it has affected each and every one of us. Father, we confess that there have been times in our lives, maybe even times in this past week, where we've laid up treasures on earth instead of laying up treasures in heaven. We confess that there have been times in our life, maybe even in the past week, where we've been anxious about things. If not the food we're going to eat and the clothes we're going to wear, then about our lives, about our futures, about tomorrow. Father, we confess that we have loved money at times more than we have loved you. And Father, we repent at the words of our Lord Jesus. We turn to you now and we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through your word today and would work through your word today to eradicate love of money from our hearts. Whether that manifests itself in a wrong prioritization of laying up treasures on earth instead of in heaven, or whether that manifests itself in being anxious about our futures and about our needs. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That he would help us to serve you, to seek you first in your kingdom and your righteousness more than anything else. Because indeed, your kingdom and your righteousness is what we most desperately and deeply need. And so, Father, we ask that your Spirit would help us to reorient our priorities according to your word for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the last half of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, Jesus is in fact confronting the sin of the love of money. And he confronts that in people who both are rich and those who are poor. In verses 19 through 24, Jesus is addressing the danger of the love of money for the rich, those who have the ability to lay up for themselves treasures on earth rather than in heaven, those who have money that they can serve rather than God. And then in verses 25 through 34, Jesus shifts just a little bit. He's still addressing the love of money, but he's addressing it in those who don't have money. Because indeed, the danger when we don't have money is that we become anxious. We become anxious about what we'll eat or what we'll wear. We become anxious about our lives. We become anxious about tomorrow, worrying what the future holds. But Jesus says that the answer to the love of money, the way that we're to confront the love of money in our lives, whether it manifests itself in a desire to lay up treasures on earth instead of in heaven, or whether it manifests itself in being anxious about our physical needs and our future, Jesus says the solution is the same to both of these. And the solution is in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus, in fact, is building off of what he's just taught in the Lord's Prayer. Remember what we considered in the Lord's Prayer last week in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. One of the priorities of our prayer, Jesus taught us, is that we should pray for God's kingdom to come. We should long for God's kingdom to come in full. We should long for his kingdom to advance until that day when it does, in fact, come in full. And Jesus now is teaching us and showing us that if our prayer is for God's kingdom to come, then our daily priorities should be aligned toward God's kingdom and God's righteousness. In our daily lives, Jesus says, our priority should be advancing God's kingdom, whether through evangelism, telling the gospel to a non-Christian, urging them to repent and believe. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a life of perfect obedience to God's law, and died on the cross in their place to pay for their sin, if they will trust in Him to save them, and was raised from the dead on the third day so that they too could have eternal life through faith in Him. Whether we're seeking to advance God's kingdom in that way through evangelism, or whether we're doing that through discipleship and encouraging one another as believers and helping one another as believers to be faithful in our lives here on earth, or whether we're prioritizing God's kingdom by growing more righteous, we're seeking His righteousness. Jesus says our priority should be seeking God's kingdom advancing in the lives of others and in our own lives as well, as we seek to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And Jesus tells us that God's kingdom and His righteousness must be our priority. It must be our priority above wealth, and it must be our priority above our physical needs. And so we begin in verses 19 through 24, where Jesus tells us to seek God's kingdom and righteousness more than wealth. And he does this first in verse 19 by telling us that we should seek God's kingdom and righteousness because eventually our wealth is going to be destroyed, if not stolen, before then. Notice what Jesus says in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus is making the very true point that earthly wealth is temporal. Earthly wealth is transient. The money we have, we spend. The money we have might get stolen by somebody. The money we have, even if we enjoy it to our dying day, when we die, we can enjoy it no longer. As God teaches us through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6:7, we came into the world with nothing, and when we die, we leave the world with nothing. If wealth doesn't run out before we die, either by being stolen or simply by being used, when we come to death, we can't take our wealth with us into eternity. And so in verse 19, Jesus tells us the reason why we shouldn't prioritize wealth over God's kingdom and God's righteousness is because that earthly wealth is so transient. And eternally speaking, that wealth is weightless. And in contrast, in verse 20, Jesus tells we should seek God's kingdom and righteousness first because those things are imperishable and those things can't be stolen from us. In verse 20, Jesus says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." When you work to advance God's kingdom through sharing the gospel with a non-Christian, through discipling another believer or encouraging another believer, encouraging them to persevere, trying to comfort them in their sorrow, helping to bear their burdens, when you're working to advance God's kingdom, you are doing something of eternal value. When you are seeking God's righteousness, when you're seeking to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life, when you're reading God's Word, when you're praying to God, when you're fellowshipping with other believers, whether at church or out at various places in the community, you are doing things of eternally lasting value. What happens when you tell someone the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? You call on them to repent and believe, and by God's grace, they do repent and they do believe. What happens in that moment? Somebody has passed from eternal death to eternal life. There is an eternal soul that has been won to the kingdom of God. There is somebody who has been saved by God's grace through faith, and that salvation cannot be shaken. That salvation cannot be taken from them. You have done something of eternal value. Moth and rust can't destroy that. Thieves can't break in and steal that. When we're working to advance God's kingdom, when we're seeking God's righteousness, whether that's in the lives of other people or whether that's in our own lives, we are doing things of eternal value. We are doing things that won't perish and that can't be taken away. And then, in verses 21 through 23, Jesus really gets to the heart of the matter. And he tells us that we should seek God's kingdom and righteousness more than wealth, because what we seek shows our heart's true allegiance. What we prioritize shows what we value most. Notice what Jesus says in verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we prioritize building wealth over our personal relationship with God and other people's relationships with God, then in fact, we love wealth more than we love God and others. And if we're prioritizing our own wealth over our relationship with God and other people's relationship with God, in fact, we're breaking the greatest two commandments, Jesus says, even if it's out of an attempt to obey a lesser command. The greatest commandments, Jesus says in Matthew 22, are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. But if we prioritize building our wealth over that, we're breaking those two commands. Now, granted, sometimes we can seek to build wealth for good reasons. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, God commands through Paul that if a man is not willing to work, he should not eat. It is good for us to work and be productive. In 1 Timothy 5:8, God says through the Apostle Paul that if a man doesn't provide for his own family and especially his household, he is worse than an unbeliever. It is good and important for us to work and be productive members of society. It is good for us to provide for our families. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 says that we should work so that we can be generous, so that we can share with those who are in need. Work is good. The danger is when we make work our idol. And that's what Jesus is warning against. Work is good, but it cannot be our idol. Family is good, but it cannot be our idol. Everything that we pursue in this world and this life, even good things that we pursue, must be submitted to the ultimate pursuit of God's kingdom and His righteousness. If we are truly to live out God's command to love Him supremely and to love others as much as we love ourselves, we've got to prioritize seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness through evangelism, through discipleship, with our relationships with one another, seeking to encourage one another in the faith, in our own personal devotion to God and seeking righteousness, reading His Word, praying, seeking to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, seeking to grow more faithful to Him in Christ. We've got to prioritize those things above everything else, and then we'll be able to do the other things, the other responsibilities that God has given us in this life with a proper perspective. And then in verses 22 and 23, as Jesus develops this idea of what we seek shows our heart's true allegiance, Jesus reminds us that in fact, our natural stance is to seek the things that we shouldn't be seeking first. Notice what Jesus says in verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? In the fallen world in which we live, it's not natural for us to love God and others more than ourselves. Jesus' illustration of this healthy eye versus the bad eye should remind us that naturally speaking, we are all born in sin. And we are born blind to our sin. But that's precisely the problem that Jesus came to solve. Remember how Matthew introduced Jesus' ministry in Matthew 4, 12 through 17. He talked about Jesus going around in Nazareth and Capernaum and Zebulun and Naphtali in order to fulfill Isaiah 9. And what did God prophesy through Isaiah in Isaiah 9? Matthew 4, 16 quotes it. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. We're all born blind in our sin. We're all born in darkness, and we seek that darkness naturally as sinners. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus has come to free us from that darkness. He has come to open our eyes to our sin. He has come to save us from our sin. The song, O Great God, illustrates this and puts it so well, describing the contrast between our life before Christ and our life once the gospel shines in our lives and we trust in Christ for salvation. The song goes, I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste of heaven's joys. That's where we all find ourselves, naturally speaking. That's where we all find ourselves, outside of Christ. We're blind by our sin. We can't hear the word of the Lord. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:1, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We need God to save us. We need God to give us new life by His Holy Spirit. We need the gift of faith and repentance. And that's exactly what God does for us. The song goes on, then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me, through the gospel of your Son gave me endless hope and peace. And so if you're here this morning and you're realizing that your priority your whole life has not been God, has not been others, but instead has been yourself, your own wealth, your own well-being, your own comfort. If you're realizing this morning that you have not loved God, but you've loved yourself, you've not loved others, you've loved yourself, that's what you need to hear. You need to hear that Jesus came to shine a light into our darkness. You need to hear that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You need to hear that your biggest problem is, in fact, your separation from God by your sin. You need to repent and believe in the gospel. You need to turn from your sin. You need to turn from your selfishness. You need to trust in Christ to save you from your sin. You need to realize that your greed and your selfishness are among the things that nailed Jesus to the cross, but He went to the cross willingly for the very purpose of saving you from your sin, for the very purpose of bringing you from death, eternal death, to eternal life. I urge you to trust in Christ today and be saved today so that you may indeed be part of God's eternal kingdom. So that you may indeed receive Jesus' righteousness credited to you. That's the glorious exchange of the gospel. At the cross, Jesus took all of our sins on Himself. So that today, if we will trust that Jesus did that 2,000 years ago, that He did take our sins on Himself, that He did take the penalty of our sin, then God credits us with Jesus' righteousness. He gives to us all of Jesus' perfect righteousness so that we are forgiven and so that we are made children of God. But of course, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is not primarily speaking to the lost, to unbelievers. He is, of course, primarily speaking to His disciples, to His people. And so Jesus in verse 24 reminds us as His people that we cannot seek both wealth and God simultaneously to the same degree. We're going to prioritize one or the other. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus is warning us believers against trying to have our cake and eat it too. He's pointing out to us that we can't serve God and money simultaneously to the same degree. He is reminding us that we, His people today, must choose this day whom we will serve. Will we ultimately prioritize God's kingdom and His righteousness, or will we prioritize money? As Christians, we are supposed to be following Christ. And what Jesus is doing for us Christians this morning is He is reminding us to be diligent. To be diligent in continuing to seek God's kingdom. To be diligent in continuing to seek God's righteousness. May we be diligent not to rest on the laurels of our initial profession of faith or our baptism or our membership in church, but may we be diligent to love and serve our God wholeheartedly day by day. May we seek His kingdom and His righteousness much more than we seek our own wealth and our own well-being in this life. We need to seek God's kingdom and righteousness more than wealth. But then in verses 25 through 34, Jesus turns and He says we need to seek God's kingdom and righteousness before our physical needs. And the danger that Jesus shows of us prioritizing our physical needs over God's kingdom and righteousness is that in that situation we will have anxiety. Jesus is showing us and pointing out to us that it's not just the rich who can love money. The poor can just as easily love money. The rich love the money that they already have. The poor can love the money that they wish that they had. And of course, the danger and the temptation when we're poor and when we're lacking money and when we're lacking resources, the temptation in that instance is that we would be anxious. And that's precisely the sin that Jesus goes after in verses 25 through 34. Verse 25, "Do not be anxious about your life." Verse 31, "Do not be anxious." Verse 34, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." Because when we don't have what we need for our physical needs, the temptation is indeed to be anxious. But Jesus tells us not to be anxious. He says we need to seek God's kingdom and righteousness even before our physical needs. We shouldn't be anxious, Jesus says, for three reasons. First, notice in verse 25. Jesus says, "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus is pointing out to us in this verse that anxiety is foolish. Anxiety is foolish, Jesus says. If we're anxious about what we'll eat or drink, or about our body, what we'll put on, we're absurdly reducing life to its physical needs. Life is so much more than eating and drinking. Our bodies are clothed by our clothes, but we do much more than get dressed every morning. Jesus is showing us that it would be foolish to be anxious over necessities, which occupy so little of our time each day. And Jesus says it would be foolish to be anxious about these things if we have no real concern for the actual responsibilities that God has given us, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. The Apostle Paul seems to be drawing on this teaching of Jesus. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, where he similarly tells us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are to be our priorities. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What did Paul do when he was imprisoned? Writing the book of Philippians. In Philippians 4, Paul writes about how at various points in his life he had plenty, but he also had hunger. There were times in his life where he was in abundance, and there were times in his life when he was in need. When Paul was hungry, when Paul was in need, was Paul anxious? Did he worry about his physical needs? No, even from prison, Paul's priority was God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Even from prison, Paul was preaching the gospel to everyone who visited him. He was preaching the gospel to the guards who were guarding him. And in Philippians 4:13, Paul gave us the secret, didn't he? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It was Christ that strengthened Paul to endure abundance and need, plenty and hunger. It was Christ that enabled Paul to get through those times of need. Paul didn't deny the physical needs. He didn't deny that those things were important. But even when he lacked those physical needs, he still trusted in the Lord. He still relied on the Lord. He still sought to advance God's kingdom, and he sought to pursue God's righteousness in his own life. Because to do otherwise, indeed, would be foolish. But more than that, in verse 26, and also in verses 28 and following, Jesus shows us that anxiety is, in fact, sinful. Notice verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In verse 28, Jesus gets even more explicit. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And that's where Jesus shows us that anxiety is sinful. Anxiety is sinful because we're not trusting in God to meet our needs. Anxiety is sinful because it's not praying to God, give us this day our daily bread, the way that Jesus taught us to pray. Anxiety is saying, I don't think God will give me my daily bread. I don't trust God to provide for my needs. And Jesus tells us, look at the birds. Look at the lilies. The birds don't work. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. But God feeds them. And aren't we of more value than the birds? The answer being, of course we are. Jesus tells us to look at the lilies in the field. He says those beautiful flowers are more beautifully arrayed than even Solomon in all his glory, the richest of Israel's kings, the most lavish of all the kings of Israel. Even Solomon was not as beautifully arrayed as one of the flowers in the field. And Jesus says, think about those flowers. Those flowers wither and they die and we cast them into the oven. We use them for kindling for fire. And yet God clothes the grass of the field with those pretty flowers. Will not God much more clothe us? The answer being, of course he will. And so Jesus says in verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Jesus says, anxiety should not be a mark of God's children. Anxiety, Jesus says, is a mark of Gentiles. He says, anxiety is a characteristic of someone who is not trusting in God. And if we have trusted in God for salvation, how much more can we trust in Him to provide for our physical needs? We need to trust, Jesus says, that God knows what we need and that He will indeed provide it for us because He is our loving Heavenly Father. Anxiety is foolish and it is sinful. But lastly, in verses 27 and 34, Jesus tells us that anxiety is futile. Verse 27, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, verse 34. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If anxiety is sinful for the way that it doubts God, then anxiety is sinful about any number of things, not just food and clothing, but it can be about our life, about the future, about tomorrow. And so Jesus gives us these two additional examples. He says we should not be anxious about our span of life. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And again, remember, Jesus is primarily addressing believers. And of course, as believers, as those who are trusting in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, certainly as believers, we should not be worried about death. We should not be worried about the end of our life. Because Jesus has died for us. And we know that, as the Bible tells us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's that truth that enabled Paul to say in Philippians 1, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says it would actually be far better for me to be with the Lord. It would be far better for him to be with the Lord. We have no need to fear death as believers. Now, of course, if you're here this morning and you're not trusting in Jesus for salvation, you should be very much concerned about your death. You should be very much concerned about where you will spend eternity. And if you are not trusting in Jesus for your salvation, you need to trust in Him today. You need to repent and believe the gospel today, because now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. God is giving you breath in your lungs to give you another opportunity to turn from your sin and to trust in Christ to save you. And if you will trust in Christ to save you, He will indeed save you. And as believers, we should not worry about death, because Jesus has already conquered it. And we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And certainly, if we are not to be anxious about our last day on this earth, certainly we should not be anxious about tomorrow, the next day on earth. Jesus is making the important point that doubt always will grow if left unchecked. The person who doubts will always doubt more and more. If you're anxious about today, you're going to be anxious about tomorrow. And if you're anxious about tomorrow now, you're going to be anxious about it when it gets here. But Jesus reminds us, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so, as Christians, Jesus teaches us to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. That is to be our priority. And within that priority, we trust in God daily to provide for us. We pray to Him, give us this day our daily bread, because we believe that He'll give it. We daily pray for Him to forgive us. We daily pray for Him not to lead us into temptation and to deliver us from the evil one, because we know that God has the power to do these things. And we trust that He will do these things. We entrust God with our today. We entrust God with our tomorrow. We entrust God with our eternity. That is what we have done as Christians. That is the essence of being a Christian, is we are entrusting God with everything that we are. We are throwing everything that we are on His throne of mercy, trusting in the blood of Jesus to save us from our sins. And if we have entrusted God with our eternity, certainly as Christians, we should entrust God with our today and with our tomorrow. And in our today, our priority, then, Jesus says, is to be seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. Seeking to share the gospel with those around us. Seeking to help one another in the church to grow in our discipleship, to grow in our faithfulness to Jesus, to encourage one another and exhort one another and bear one another's burdens. And it's to be seeking His righteousness. To be seeking to grow in our own ways closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking to become more like the Lord Jesus through reading His Word, through meditating on His Word and memorizing His Word, through praying to Him, through fellowshipping with other believers. We're to be seeking His righteousness. That indeed is to be our priority. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for adopting us as sons and daughters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for casting away our sins as far as the east is from the west. And Father, it is our prayer as Your people that You would indeed help us by Your Holy Spirit. Help us to seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness first. We thank You for providing for our daily needs. We thank You for providing for our eternal needs. And so, Father, we pray that You would indeed give us the faith to entrust to You everything that we need our today, our tomorrow, our eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.